It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch. This has gotten much shorter, this introduction, now that we've figured out a name for you. Hi, Arthur.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time you're listening.
Right.
I'm obsessed this week. Well, first, let me say something. Last week, I talked about fettuccine Alfredo, and I didn't mention a key bit of history slash trivia about fettuccine Alfredo, which was, it was originally popularized by Mary Pickford and Douglas Fairbanks, who were in Rome and ate the dish and came in love and went back to Hollywood and talked about it and eventually bought Alfredo himself a golden, I'm assuming it was vermeil, spoon and fork so he could toss it in the dining room with golden utensils. That's it. So now I'm moving on to a dish that I am obsessed with for a couple of reasons. Let's start with it's delicious. A second, it takes only minutes to make. And three, it really does depend on superb ingredients. So I found this recipe, which is for pasta with a dressing, let's call it. In Italian, they say condimento, condiment, but or sauce, of Italian sausage out of the casing, onion, a little tomato paste, and porcini mushrooms. Now, let's go to the porcini first. I happen to have some porcini that I needed to use up. Why did I say I needed to use it up? I think I got these porcini at least 10 years ago. I'll have to figure it out. But let's say 10 years ago. Bob said it was 10 years ago. It's a memorable moment because it was when we were living in Salerno for a number of months. And our next-door neighbor in the palazzo we were in was a guy we used to call the porn star. Why? Because he was extremely good-looking and always walked around in what we in America call a wife beater. However, his wife beaters were always like Armani or Prada, some designer wife beater. What do I mean? A wife beater, you know, what are we calling it politely? An undershirt. So he was right next door. At that time, he was single. Originally, when we first met him, he was single, but he had two kids from his marriage, and they used to come visit him on the weekend. And he lived in this Soho loft-like apartment that had one enormous, enormous wall painted in a chalkboard so his kids could write on the wall, and another enormous wall that was curtained off and ends up was his closet. He was a real clothes horse. Anyway, we were only there for a couple weeks, and then we came back, and he was there now with his current girlfriend, who was pregnant, and the two kids had moved in with him, and he was a real papa, and he was very responsible, I got to say. He was the representative for a company called Urbani, U-R-B-A-N-I, Urbani, in the south of Italy. Urbani is the most important, I have to say, truffle and porcini dealers in Italy. Urbani is in Umbria, which is where most of the truffles come from. They have incredible porcini all through central Italy. And you can buy Urbani products here in the U.S. too. So the neighbor, the porn star, dealt in dry porcini, among other things that Urbani dealt in. And after spending 3 months as his next-door neighbor, a parting gift was an enormous quantity of dry porcini, which he scooped out with two arms into a big plastic bag, weighs very little. So we were able to carry it back to the U.S. no problem. I don't think there's any problem in bringing dried porcini in from Italy, by the way. No USDA prohibition. This was such a large quantity of porcini, and I love porcini, but I don't use it that much. It's taken me until pretty recently to use up this enormous quantity that the porn store gave me. Anyway, I made this dish with it, and it's a dish that I found on the internet from a company that sells very high-end Italian products. including, of course, porcini. Now, the recipe, as I found it, called for 1.7 ounces of dried porcini. That's the amount that came in the packet that this company is trying to sell to you. I only used 0.8 ounces, meaning less than an ounce, and it was more than enough to make the dish. In fact, if I'd made it with 1.7 ounces, I think I would have been too intense and too many porcini. So here, this is the anyway, to make this recipe again, of course, I had to buy more porcini. So I go online, and I find that you can buy Urbani 1 pound bags of porcini for as little as $50. I went directly to the Urbani site website, and even there on their website, the same bag of porcini that I bought for $48 and change, delivered to my door, no delivery charge on Amazon, was $87 and change. So, you know, that's more like what you might pay, but in a store, you're not going to see one-pound bags so in any old store. They only sell it in these little packets. So I would say, don't buy those little packets. Buy yourself some porcini. Yes, it may take you a very long time to use up a pound of porcini, but you could share it. You could make smaller packets and give it to your friends and family, along maybe with this recipe if you want. They last for a long time. I'm sure these were at least 10 years old and they were fine. So I bought the porcini, and I made it again because, surprisingly, Bob liked it a lot. I mean, he loved it. And it's a very intense flavors, so that's not something he normally would dote over, but he does. So here's a very easy recipe. You need a half a pound of good Italian pork sausage. The ones I buy from my butcher, who's also a grocery, an Italian market grocery, my sausage are just pork, coarsely ground with fat, salt, and pepper. If you buy supermarket quality pork sausage, they might have other things, like dextrose, I've seen, which is kind of sugar. But anyway, you want plain Italian sweet sausage, two of them, taken out of the casings, put them in a skillet with a couple of tablespoons of good olive oil, and sauté, breaking up the sausage into as small pieces as you want, as you can. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I use a flat-edged spatula for doing this, wooden spatula, and break it up as it goes along, and once it's lost its raw color, add a diced red onion. Now, I weighed my onion, so I could tell you that it was 9 ounces. If it's 8 ounces, that's okay, too. But not a small red onion, a nice-sized red onion. I would call it a medium-large onion. Diced quarter-inch dice, throw that in the skillet with the now rendering pork sausage and olive oil. And it takes, over medium heat, it takes about 10 minutes to get this nice red onion tender, which is what all you want it to do is to get soft, not colored in any way. And then you make a little a blank spot in the middle of the pan and put in, I use a heaping tablespoon of tomato paste. You want to make it 2 tablespoons of tomato paste? You want to measure level? That's okay. But I just make 1 really heaping tablespoon of tomato paste. And by the way, here's a little trick. I measured my olive oil in the same spoon that I then measured the tomato paste, because once there's been olive oil in that spoon, the tomato paste slides right out. Anyway, you swirl that around in the pan, mixing in some of your onion and sausage, and then add, I forgot to tell you, before you even start any of this, you want to rehydrate your porcini. So I took my 1 ounce of porcini in a measuring cup and poured over hottest possible tap water until it was nicely covered, but not really, you know, covered a lot. but covered so that the porcini could soak. And then by the time you do the sausage and the onion, you can now drain the porcini, of course, saving the liquid. In fact, what you're going to do is pour the liquid into your skillet with the onion, sausage, and tomato paste. That is your liquid for the moment in the dish. Chop up the now soaked and soft porcini. If you're going to use a tubular pasta, which I have done, I would say that it doesn't have to be chopped very fine. But next time I make this, I'm going to make it with spaghetti. And for that, I think I do want the mushrooms chopped fine. Throw those in the skillet. So now you have a skillet with pork sausage, a little olive oil, onion, tomato paste, porcini liquid. And that's going to be, that liquid will be probably enough to cover everything, just barely. Then throw in your chopped, coarsely or not, could be fine, porcini, salt. You may need a little salt. You may need, I put in a lot of black pepper. Truthfully, if you wanted to use red pepper, that would be very good, too, if you like a real spicy dish. But we don't. We like it spicy with black pepper. And that's it. Let it simmer literally 3-4 minutes, no more. And I used this on rigatoni, which was a good combination, but it's a heavy pasta rigatoni. Then I tried it on mezzi rigatoni, which is half-size rigatoni, and we liked that better. But next time, as I say, I'm going to chop the mushrooms fine so that they integrate with spaghetti very well. That is it. I eat this with a nice amount of grated cheese on top. I prefer Parmigiano for this. And really good dish, an easy dish. If you've got porcini, so if you want to buy some porcini, I'm telling you, you can find them for under 50. I bought them on Amazon Prime. It was delivered literally the next day. No service charge, no delivery charge, nothing. Anyway, I have been getting good mail. Thank you, everyone, who sent me mail. You can send any of your questions to Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at Robin Hood Radio. Now, some of your mail only requires a few sentences, and some of your mail requires a program. But I just wanted to say to Amy Jordan, who tells me I practically changed her life by telling her how to make blender hollandaise, she wants to know now about mayonnaise, which, of course, is a related sauce. Hollandaise is warm butter emulsified in egg with lemon and a tad of mustard, salt, pepper. Mayonnaise is oil that has been emulsified with egg yolk and also seasoned pretty much with the same things. But here's the deal with mayonnaise. I do like jarred mayonnaise. I'm not going to say I don't, because I do. But here's a little trick that one of my Italian Salernitana friends, one of my friends from Salerno taught me. She said, if you want your jarred mayonnaise to taste homemade, beat in a little bit of olive oil, really, really good olive oil. Let's say for a cup of mayonnaise, all you need is like a couple tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil to really change the character of the mayonnaise. And to say that is... mayonnaise depends a lot on the oil that you use. Now, my favorite mayonnaise ever is made by my friend Nicholas, who is Belgian. Of course, Belgians know about mayonnaise. They eat their fries, you know, dunked into mayonnaise. And Nicholas, and by the way, he lives in Italy, but he is Belgian. And he makes famous mayonnaise, I got to say. People, you know, beg him, oh, make us some mayonnaise. He does it in a plate, the old-fashioned way, with a fork, beating the egg yolk, beating with the fork, drizzling in, and, of course, a little lemon juice, a tiny, tiny bit of Dijon mustard. And then he, with a fork, dribble, beats in olive oil. And seed oil, both. So you don't want to make a mayonnaise with just extra virgin olive oil. It's way too strong, I think. you want to divide it between the extra virgin for flavor and a neutral oil to be the base. My neutral oil, because it's what I keep in the house, is canola, but I do prefer peanut oil, or even avocado oil is excellent. And that's it, mayonnaise. Now, the other question that I got that I really want to dig into right now is, this is from Phil. So Phil, who has an Italian last name, wrote that his Sicilian grandmother, who was an amazing cook, made something, she was better than any restaurant. Let me say, somebody said to me the other day, you know, I want to make restaurant-quality food. I said, well, I don't know why you would want to make restaurant-quality food when you can make delicious home-cooked food.
Right. You want grandmother's quality.
Yeah. So Phil's grandmother, one of her special dish side dishes was fried cauliflower. Now, you're talking to somebody who loves fried cauliflower. I don't love cauliflower just like it for its own sake, but I like it the way my Polish/Hungarian/, depending on what she was cooking, what she was, grandmother, this is Polish for sure, made, after she boiled the cauliflower and drained it, of course, she put it in a skillet with some fat and breadcrumbs, and she sautéed the breadcrumbs in the fat. I'm saying the fat generically because I'll tell you the fat in a minute. Until the breadcrumbs got a little toasty, and then added the cauliflower and tossed the cauliflower in the toasted breadcrumbs. That is delicious. So I say fat because my grandmother and grandfather, who cooked together very often, at least once a year that I remember, roasted a goose that we never got to see, but we did get to enjoy the goose fat. And making this cauliflower was one of the uses for goose fat. But truthfully, these days, if I have chicken fat, I might do that. But I have other uses for my chicken fat, too. No, but you can do butter. It's delicious. I mean, if you want to do olive oil, that's delicious, too. But remember to sauté the breadcrumbs first, because if you put the, as I did once the wrong way, put the cauliflower in first and then the breadcrumbs, so the cauliflower is too moist and the breadcrumbs never get the way brown the way you want them to. So that was the way my grandmother made it. But the way I have a recipe for fried cauliflower that may be much more like what Phil is looking for, because I got this recipe. Now, I don't remember exactly where. I have to look it up in my book. But it's a recipe that's actually in the Southern Italian Table. And I do remember this fried cauliflower I first had was on an antipasto buffet in Sicily. And I loved it so much, I went home and made it, and I've made it many, many times since. This is cauliflower, also first either steamed or boiled, whichever you prefer. I prefer steaming only because I find steaming is quicker. You only have to boil up a little bit of water to steam something. After it's steamed until tender, I then bathe it in a mixture of beaten eggs, grated cheese, salt, and pepper. And you want to really turn the cauliflower many times in this mixture so that it starts seeping in between the flowerets. And you're going to do small-ish flowerets of cauliflower. And then you cook it. I do use olive oil for this. You put it in a skillet, and over medium-high heat, you cook it until the egg is really a little caramelized. I mean, you want a little bit of brown here and there. But, you know, you turn the cauliflower in. You could use butter if you like. They're different, but they're both delicious. And that's it. That you can eat at room temperature. One of the reasons, I love the dish in general, and I like it hot, but it's really, that's why it was on an antipasto array, because it really is good at room temperature. So those are my two fried cauliflower ways. I hope, Phil, you try one of them. Then, I have, you know, I don't know, the algorithm of the universe here I am, I just bought a lot of dried porcini to make this simple sausage, onion, porcini, and pasta recipe. And what do I see in the New York Times Magazine this past weekend, the Sunday magazine? They have a recipe for porcini ragu. Now, I wouldn't call this ragu, but, you know, ragu is a popular word, and I'm not sure exactly. To me, a ragu is a meat sauce. You know, any you know, what the Italian-Americans sometimes call gravy, to me, is ragu. And there are many kinds of ragu, but it should contain some kind of animal protein. If it's a porcini ragu, to me, it's not a ragu. It's a porcini sauce. But I'm going to make this mainly because I have so many porcini, but also because it's a totally different take. This one is seasoned with, you do use olive oil, seasoned with garlic, red pepper, and a lot of parsley, and a little bit of tomato paste. Oh, I didn't say I buy tomato paste in a tube, because mostly I only use a tablespoon, two tablespoons. I don't think I've used more than a quarter of a cup of tomato paste in anything in many years. So it's very handy. By the way, the quality that comes from Italy in tubes, I feel, is at least as good, if not better, than the good brands of American, like Contadina I used to use. It's a good paste, but you have to open a whole can for it. This, you just squeeze out what you need. So in this case of the so-called ragu, you're, again, using only about a tablespoon and a half. But what's different, no meat in this, but there is cream. Porcinis were made for cream. So I am definitely making the... You can probably look it up. I'm sure you can look it up. I know you can look it up online, the porcini so-called ragu that was in the magazine this past week. And if you're going to go buy a lot of porcini, I wouldn't go out and buy the 1.7-ounce bag of porcini just to make this, but what are you going to do? Next time I talk to you, we have to talk about fish. I have been properly called out by Robin Weiss that I never talk about cooking fish. So I am going to talk about cooking fish. I don't do it as often as I should. Robin points out, as you get older, it's supposedly good for your brain. I think it's good for your brain all the time. But anyway, fish is very tough these days. It's very difficult to get good fish, and good fish costs a fortune. So there you go. I love getting my mail. I'm not going to be Perry Como this week, but you can still send letters to M. Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at robinhoodradio.com. And if I don't respond on the air, I will try very hard to respond in print, in an email. And also, I have to thank... not only for all the letters, but in fact some recipes, like Donna just sent me her recipe for pastede, and I said it sounds like Neapolitan noodle kugel. I'm going to make it. So anyway, have a great week, everyone. Enjoy the upcoming good weather. You know, and they say in Italian, marzo è pazzo. March is crazy. And we say it comes in like a lion, which it already did, and goes out like a lamp. So I'm looking forward.
And so are we. So thank you. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.